Good evening. Let's call to order the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Commission meeting of December 18 at 6:34 p.m. The city strongly denounces hate speech and does not tolerate disruptive behavior in our meetings. Sunnyvale prides itself on the rich diversity of our residents. We are committed to creating a culture of belonging where members of our diverse community feel included, safe, and respected. Before we get started, I'd like to remind commissioners of some procedural items for this meeting. Commissioners, please use the request to speak button on your microphone and wait for acknowledgement from me before you speak. It is important for the public at home and for the meeting recording that your comments are captured by a microphone. Acknowledgement from me is an important part of parliamentary procedure. During the meeting, remote participants will remain muted when not speaking. If remote participants have a question or comment, please use the raise hand feature. Speakers will be called upon to speak one at a time. Members of the public may participate in person, online, or by telephone to provide public comment. Please submit a speaker card to the staff liaison in person or use the raise hand feature online to request to speak or dial *9 on a telephone. Location and teleconference meeting details are available on the meeting agenda. Captions are available to viewers accessing this meeting via Zoom. Captions can be displayed or hidden using the live transcript button. Comments on matters not on the agenda must be submitted prior to the time I call the item for oral communications. Comments on agenda items must be submitted prior to the time I close the public hearing on the agenda item. Speakers are requested to keep their comments to no more than 3 minutes, and time limits will be strictly enforced. Guidelines are posted on the city's website and on the meeting agenda. Please join me in the salute to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, and liberty and justice for all.
Staff, may we please have the roll call? Commissioners, please request to speak using the microphone now. Staff liaison will unmute you when you are called.
Chair Wilson?
Here.
Commissioner Bonet?
Here.
Commissioner Hafman?
Here.
Commissioner Melman?
Here.
Commissioner Galakota?
Here.
So we have five present and then two absent tonight.
And the time is now 6:37 p.m. We will open up oral communications. A reminder to the public, please submit a speaker card to the staff liaison, raise your digital hand now, or dial *9 on a telephone if you wish to address the commission. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, then the staff liaison will ask remote participants to unmute their microphone when it is their turn to address the commission. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. First, I have Tim.
Good evening, and I just wanted to thank the BPAC and staff for an excellent job on the Hollenbeck bike lanes. I'm looking forward to those. I ride that almost every day, and I cannot wait until it's safer for me to get to these meetings and back home again after every meeting I come to. That's number one. Number two, we have a holiday lights ride coming up. Maybe on Saturday, we'll see. It's rain. Rain cancels. But if it doesn't happen this Saturday, it will happen the following Saturday on the 27th at 6 p.m. at Columbia Park, at Columbia Middle School. This is our fifth year doing this. We're trying to rotate and check out all the different neighborhoods of Sunnyvale and check out their holiday lights. So we invite you and staff or anyone else who would like to come to join us. Thanks very much.
Staff liaison, do we have any remote speakers wishing to speak on this item?
Seeing none.
Okay. If there are no more in-person or remote speakers, I will go ahead and close oral communications at 6:39 p.m. The next order of business is the consent calendar. The time is now 6:39 p.m. I will go ahead and open public comment on the consent calendar items. Members of the public wishing to address the commission, please submit a speaker card to the staff liaison, use their raise hand feature now, or dial *9 on a telephone to indicate that you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, and then the staff liaison will ask remote participants to unmute their microphone when it is their turn to address the commission. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. Let's see. I don't believe I have any in-person speaker cards for this item. Staff liaison, are there any remote participants wishing to speak on this item?
Seeing none.
Okay. If there are no more speakers, I will go ahead and close public comment at 6:40 p.m. I will now ask for a motion from my colleagues to approve the consent calendar. Actually, this is a moment where staff, would you mind logging into the control device here? I don't have the power to unmute people just yet. Thanks for bearing with us as we get the setup going again. All right, thank you. Let's see. Commissioner Haven?
Yeah, I move to approve the consent calendar.
And we have a second.
I shall second the motion.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for the motion and second. Staff liaison, could you please conduct a roll call vote? Commissioners, please request to speak when using the microphone now. Staff will unmute you when it is your turn to speak.
I'm missing a mailman.
Wow. I think this microphone's breaking. Aye.
Awesome. Commissioner Galakota.
Yes.
Commissioner Bonet?
Yes.
Commissioner Haveman?
Yes.
Chair Wilson?
Yes.
So the motion carried with 5 yes and 2 absent.
Excellent. The next order of business is public hearings and general business. Item number 25-1161. Discussion and possible recommendation of one priority project idea to the City Council. Is there a report?
Yes, there is. So I'm sharing the presentation right now. So for this item, the Council Priority Project Process, Policy 7.3.26 were approved by the City Council on October 21st, 2025 to replace the study issue process and budget proposal process. So staff have shared a copy of this PDF presentation to all the commissioners last month. So tonight, we're just going to go over some of the key components in the PDF to help us to have an efficient Council Priority Project discussion tonight. So first of all, we think we're going to go over the timeline. So as WEPAC, we with the majority vote can forward one idea to Council for Council consideration in November BPAC meeting. So from November to January, so Council member can submit up to 3 proposals. So they will be able to pull from the list of all the proposals from the board and commission to submit to them. In February, Council will host a Council Priority Project workshop to discuss in depth about the project and vote for the priority project. From March to April, staff will prepare the 3 to 5 pages of summary to complete and complete analysis of selected idea that Council have voted on back in February. In May, there is the budget workshop. The City Manager will recommend the Council Priority Project within the funding and the staff capacity. In June, we have budget adoption. So Council will approve the final Council Priority Project for the year. And then from July to November, staff will focus on implementing the current year Council Priority Project. So also on this slide, participation from each of the board commission for the Council Priority Project item is optional. But for us, BPAC next year, staff will ask BPAC in October meeting to see if BPAC would like to have the Council Priority Project item to be in the agenda for discussion. And if all the commissioners say yes, then we will agendize that in November meeting next year. Because 2025 is our first year we're doing this item, so the deadline have been extended to December 1st. So that's why we're having this meeting tonight. So next slide, the format of the discussion. So you will be able verbally discussing today. There will be no any of staff report or paper. Our Chair Wilson will facilitate this discussion tonight. And after the discussion tonight, and also tonight we have your staff liaison, our traffic division manager, Angelo Bezos here, and also our public work director, Chip Taylor here, to help to clarify any overlapping idea with the existing or planned city project. As I have mentioned earlier in this presentation, we only get to vote one idea to forward to the Council for their consideration. And after tonight's meeting, staff will forward that one idea to the City Manager office. With that said, that's the end of my presentation. Thank you for listening. And I'm not sure Angelo Bezos. Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Tin. So Angelo Bezos, Transportation and Traffic Division Manager. I just wanted to highlight, you know, we talked about this a little bit last month, and the goal tonight is to generate ideas and ultimately pick one of those ideas. And so we're not able to get into details about scoping, the outcome, all of that. It's just big ideas. And the ideas we will keep track of as part of the conversation to help guide that. As Tin mentioned, Chair Wilson will be guiding the discussion. This is your guys' discussion. These are ideas that we staff have no previous understanding, knowledge, or analysis of. And so it's really your guys' opportunity to come up with ideas and decide what one idea do you want to recommend to council. Then council will consider that. And as Tin mentioned on the timeline slide, each council member with this new process can present three ideas to the council discussion. It may or may not include the commission ideas. So we really want to focus on bringing the best idea forward for one of the council members to select. So again, this is really focusing on the what, the big picture. And then if council does select that idea and it does move forward, then we will do the scoping analysis and really dig into the weeds of how do we achieve that idea. So with that, I think we are good to hand it over to the commissioners to have your discussion. And we're here to answer questions about, is it already included? But generally, we won't be able to answer detailed scoping type questions this evening.
Okay, yeah. So to my fellow commissioners, the idea here is that we're going to be having a little bit of an open-ended discussion and workshop here. And then, of course, we're going to try to narrow down our options from those that are submitted and discussed here down to just one recommendation by the end of the night. So to facilitate that and kind of smooth things along, I want to start with giving each of the commissioners as a goal, just 1 minute to list an idea that they may have. If you have more than one idea, we can come back to you. But to start, please just mention one idea, describe it briefly, very briefly. So about 1 minute worth of content. So we have an idea of what the scope of that, or not, let's say not scope, but the general area of that idea is. And then as we go, we can get more into a more detailed discussion to try to compare and contrast. And I'll ask Tin to write these ideas down, kind of a brief one line summary of them as we go. So you have something to consult as we continue on. Okay. So
questions. Can we
have like a series of questions? Yes, we do also have questions from the public as well. Okay, so we'll move forward with the schedule here. The time is 6:52 p.m. Well, actually, before I do that, as a reminder to my colleagues, please request to speak by using your microphones. We're going to go ahead and allow for questions to staff regarding the process of the council priorities process that we're beginning this year. I will unmute your, if my commissioners have any questions, I will unmute your microphone when it is your turn to speak. Once finished speaking, please mute your microphone. Are there any questions from my commissioners? I see several hands. I'll start with Commissioner Melman.
So I just wanted to clarify, and this may have been answered previously in our last session, but is this separate from the study issue process? In other words, projects that we previously submitted as study issues are not part of this idea process?
Short answer, yes. So study issues that were already approved and funded will remain in the work plan. We will continue to work on those. Any ideas that did not make the cut, so to speak, in previous years, there is no list anymore. So if there is an idea from a previous list that did not get chosen and you would like to discuss it tonight, by all means, that is allowable. But we have no existing list or deferred list or anything like that from previous years anymore.
We don't have the project list that we used to have anymore?
We are not keeping that list anymore. The study issue process is no longer in existence, and that was a study issue list.
Okay. I kind of want to refer to that only because there were when we ranked study issues, there were study issues left over still on that list that I'd like to look at to remind myself of.
And I believe that information is still available. It just, we don't we staff are no longer maintaining that list, and so that's not part of the information that we provide to you tonight.
No, I understand, but if it's our idea that we want to proceed with something that was previously on our study issue list, that's what I'm asking about.
Yeah,
for.
You can discuss it again. You
okay.
Can bring it up.
And the second question is what if the commission cannot come to an agreement as to the one issue? How do we handle that?
In a case like that, the likely outcome would be that BPAC does not have an idea recommended to council if you can't come to a consensus.
Okay. And just to clarify, we're limited to one idea per year, more or less?
As a commission, yes.
As a commission. That kind of... So if an issue comes up in the interim between our prioritization and the next cycle, how do we bring that to council's attention if we no longer have a study issue methodology?
You can bring it to their attention as an individual resident, as a community member, reach out to a council member and let them know your idea. But as a commission, there is no longer a process to do that mid-year.
Interesting. So it's speeding up the process, but yet it's restricting us to one idea.
I can only speak to what the policy is now, and the policy now is each commission, BPAC included, every single commission gets one recommended idea for council to consider. Now, again, to reiterate what Tin had mentioned before, that idea will go to a list that the city manager's office maintains, and the council members may or may not select that idea.
Yes, as it was when we had the whole old study issue ranking process, and we would forward our priorities for that year, and the study count and the council could elect to approve or deny all the priorities that we set. So my concern is that it's the apparent restriction to one per year, which seems more efficient on the face of it, but also seems to restrict the free speech and the concerns of the community, which this commission would like to address.
I would like to just make the comment that this is now an existing policy, and
I understand.
The item on the agenda tonight is not to discuss the pros and cons of the policy. What we're here tonight is to discuss ideas for the commission to present to council. So we need to kind of keep a focus on that tonight. What are your ideas?
Okay.
This is your opportunity. Let's take advantage.
Fine. Then I will say my idea to address to council is that we remove a traffic lane on either side of Fair Oaks and make it a bicycle boulevard and reduce the speed limit.
Okay. Are there any further questions? Commissioner Roman, was that the end of your questioning?
That wasn't the end of my question, but she seemed to indicate that we are not questioning this policy further because it is a policy now, and therefore the policy itself is not up for debate. So the issue before us is now offering our ideas.
So is there any other clarifying questions?
Go ahead, Commissioner.
I'm working on that. So thank you, Commissioner Mullen. Commissioner Hafeman, you'd be next for questions.
Yeah, so next year, in October, we'll decide whether or not we even want to do it. And then we come back, everybody just presents all their ideas. I mean, and this is one of these meetings that's going to go for hours because there's no process and there's no reviews to feasibility. But that's what's going to happen, right? October, we decide, yeah, we want to submit an idea. November, we all come with our ideas and we discuss it. Hopefully we won't have anything else on the agenda and we'll discuss it till midnight and then we'll make a decision.
That's too much.
Let's get a clarification on what the question is.
The question is, am I interpreting this correctly?
And yes, you
the
are.
The first time an idea will be discussed is in the November meeting.
Correct.
And that is the meeting that we have to decide. That's going to be the idea that's going to go to council.
Correct.
And there has been no process defined on how to refine an idea.
So I would refer you back to the study issue that developed this process and the council process that determined that this is our new policy. I think the short answer is yes. The process, I think that the process that you're looking for is now going to happen after the council discusses them in February. So now it's just ideas. If you have an idea, something that you would like to see happen in the city, that's what we should discuss tonight. And again, going back to my earlier comments, we're not here tonight to discuss the scope, the how, the outcome, but it's really just idea generation. And yes, in order to meet Brown Act requirements, we do not have discussions before this. It has to be agendized. And in order to achieve that, that's why in October, and all the commissions are following the same process. So in October, we staff will come to you and say, do you want to recommend, do you want to have this discussion? And we know it's likely to be a lengthy conversation. And so we will try to block out as much of the November meeting as possible to have that discussion. And again, to Chair Wilson's idea of limiting each idea conversation, you know, that's to help expedite and to make sure that we all the commissioners get an equal opportunity to present their ideas and really think it through in this evening's meeting.
Okay, can you, the study issue that resulted in this,
mm-hmm.
can that be made available?
It's available on the work plan. If you go on the city's website and you look up the council priority work plan, it is one of those items. It's now completed, but you can find all of the information there. And there's also information about this process specifically on the city's website. It's all public.
Right. And one of the things I think I should remind the commission is that the reason we are going through this kind of high volume idea generation process prior to refinement of each idea is to eliminate the amount of excess work that was being done on ideas that were bad ideas to begin with. The idea here is to start with all the throw everything on the whiteboard and then eliminate everything that's bad. Pick one thing that we think is really good. And then hopefully it's good enough that council finds it's worth it to spend their time pursuing it. So this is all about eliminating the things that are not very, very helpful. So, okay, I think we've answered that question. Commissioner Golikota's hand is up as well. Oh, no, it's not here. Okay.
I was just wanting to wait to give input on what we would like. We don't have a preset list, right? We are going to each suggest and then we are going to arrive at a consensus. Is that how we are?
Yeah, I'm about to ask for the list for you all to mention the items that you would like to be as part of this list.
Right. Are we ready for that? I can wait until we are ready for that.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay, so we'll go ahead and go open public hearing on this item before going to the discussion from my colleague. So thank you, all of you who brought ideas. You will get your time, but first we'll ask for questions from the public. I see there is someone from the public who's given a speaker card. The time is now 7:02 p.m. I will go ahead and open the public hearing on this specific item. Members of the public wishing to address the commission, please submit a speaker card to the staff liaison. Use the raise hands feature now or dial *9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first. Then the staff liaison will ask remote participants to unmute when it is their turn to address the commission. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. The first speaker is Tim.
Thank you, Chair. Regarding this process, this is interesting because usually we've got some material to understand, work on, and know where things are headed to make comment on, and here we have no idea. So if I would ask that you consider doing a two-part comment. One is just input at this phase, and then once you've got your ideas lined up, have a second round that the public can actually see what you're actually considering so they can comment on it. Otherwise, we're kind of flying blind. We did do that for the Charter Committee, which I'm on. Sometimes we had a couple of rounds because it wasn't clear what was happening. So that's just an ask if that's possible. Okay, so please do pick one. It's fine. You get one shot at the apple. Don't let it die. You know, make the most of it. I've got three ideas for you to consider. Much more funding, with Faro's Complete Streets being the top item, because of all the, I bike all over the city of Sunnyvale. Hollenbeck was a big sore spot for me. Fair Oaks is a huge sore spot for me, because a large piece of our city is north of 101, and getting across there is just really challenging. Because there's a pedway near there, but there's no bikeway near there, and Fair Oaks is it. A second idea is a policy to sign all intersections, just like is done for cars. When you're using your GPS on your phone to navigate around a city, you hit a lot of intersections that says turn right. It doesn't say what to turn right onto, because there's no signage. There's no names for things. A lot of places that people like to bike that are trails or their little pass-throughs. And be nice to name those. It's a great opportunity for people, you know, council members, get their name in lights, or honor someone, and then put up a little sign at those intersections. And then when those are up there, all of the mapping apps will pick up that information. So then when you get around the city, you actually know where you're going and know that you're in the right location, because it turn right, turn left, turn right without a name of something you can see, and so you know where you're going, is really important. And we want equity for walkers and bikers, so they know, oh, this is where I'm going, and it makes sense because I see a little sign there. The third idea is beef up the Sunnyvale Safe Routes to School program. Cupertino has an amazing program. This really a lot of support. They have a lot of volunteers. They get a lot more bang for the buck than just having only the staff work on it. In Sunnyvale, we're just one staff member, and they're the only person who really works on it. They don't have this whole community of support, but they need a little more guidance and a little more flexibility or something so that they can do more. Like Palo Alto has a great program. City of San Jose has a great program. They all involve community volunteers, school volunteers. Cupertino actually goes the extra mile. They actually have students also a part of their Safe Routes to School program, which is pretty awesome. And for a really cheap idea, but maybe this is not the right path, but there is an option to get walking biking education into all schools in California. And if we're Sunnyvale to support that, that sort of offloads Safe Routes to School to some extent. It's called walkbikerollca.org. It's a state level initiative, but having cities back that would be really cool, because we need to get so many more people educated to be safe on their e-bikes or walking around so their e-bikes are not in sidewalks. So there's a bunch of ideas. And I hope you'll consider my other suggestion about having a couple of rounds at public comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, staff, do we have any remote participants wishing to speak on this item?
Seeing none.
Okay. I will go ahead and close the public hearing at 7:06 p.m. I will now ask for a discussion from my colleagues. As we discussed a minute ago, yes, let's do one idea per person, about 1 minute per idea. Please don't overwhelm the group. And let's go ahead. If you have something to say, please raise your hand now. Commissioner Bonet.
Thank you. My idea is simple. Expand the Sunnyvale downtown pedestrian area. We are the Bicycle and Pedestrian Commission. We've done a lot of work on bicycles, some on pedestrians, I think not enough. Seeing how people enjoy McKinley when it is blocked off for events, I think we should do more of that. Make it permanent.
Okay, Tim, could we have you pull up a kind of a Word document or presentation to write some of these down? And then maybe we can number them and have a streamline the discussion that way. Yeah, so that first one was expand the pedestrian area downtown. Yeah, so that first one was expand the pedestrian area downtown. Interesting. Yeah, so that first one was expand the pedestrian area downtown. Interesting. Yeah, so that first one was expand the pedestrian area downtown. Interesting. Yeah, so that first one was expand the pedestrian area downtown.
We just need a beat.
Okay. Yeah, okay, so we're back without the repeat. So we to restate that, yes, extend pedestrian only zone downtown. And then Commissioner Melman has mentioned that her idea has been stated, but if you could state it again, please.
Magic. That we need bicycles, bike lanes in both directions on Fair Oaks Avenue, because there is no north-south connection right now. There is a north-south connection, but it's very zigzaggy to get to Sunnyvale Avenue. I'm talking about a road that needs bike lanes. And then obviously that would also include sidewalk improvements for pedestrians and so forth.
And Commissioner Hafman, you'll be next.
Yeah, my idea is the study issue that was submitted early in the year, February meeting, and that is to standardize our bicycle design to the what's it called, VTA standards that's been published and is being supported in multiple cities. And there was some thought went into that, and the thing is written up and has had some review.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Hickman. And Commissioner Golagoda.
Thank you, Chair Wilson. City of Sunnyvale is currently housing 21 schools in the district, and we are also a home to many employers with huge employees working within the city. I would like us to identify key routes that could maximum serve both employees as well as high school students to access their respective destinations. I do not think the elementary schools are the boundaries that are set up to make biking feasible because of the way the districts are formed. So I'm not really hopeful that we can make biking easier for a school, for example, like Ellis, which has boundaries that are pretty long, and these young kids probably cannot bike that long. So I would like us to prioritize the high school students. The high schools are not going to change, and it's pretty long distance from 101 to, beyond 101 to Fremont High School and also to Homestead High School. So I would like us to identify the key routes that we could prioritize to improve the bicycling infrastructure, making it extremely safe for them to use. And I'm hoping that this would help with our vision of 2030 to have reduce our carbon emissions. So, thank you.
Can I quickly ask a clarifying question? So your idea is to identify priority routes for bike and pedestrian improvements for high schools, or you had mentioned commuters as well. And I also want to ask a clarifying question regarding how this differs from our ATP.
My understanding of ATP, I could be wrong, is that we are also prioritizing many, in my mind, a road like Matilda Avenue should have class 4 bike lanes. We currently do not have them. Class 4, class 2B?
So 2 would be the strip painted down the road. 2B would be with a buffer, the separating zone.
The one with the bollards.
Bollards would be, I believe that's class 4.
Class 4, yeah, then that is what I'm referring to, yeah. So ideally, those routes could have class 4 bike lanes. So give us at least a couple of roads that maximum people can use and feel safe to reach their destinations, kind of thing.
I think you have to continue staff member Obeza's question there. The ATP does also outline a lot of routes around the city that need improvements for pedestrians and bicycles. So maybe even without discussing ATP, would you be interested in suggesting that Fair Oaks receive improvements? That's been mentioned tonight. It's already on the list, and it is, as we've mentioned, one of the only ways to cross Highway 101 to get to North Sunnyvale. I think really it's Matilda and Fair Oaks. And since Fair Oaks has also had a number of accidents on it involving pedestrians in recent years, it's a high priority for council. So there could be value in putting your effort behind idea number, shoot, I've lost, number two, idea number two.
So I'm currently not clear which routes the high school students take, especially from, for example, Lakewood area or the Fairwood area, coming to Fremont High School, or some of the people from the north of 101 or 237 coming to Homestead High School. So I cannot be the person who can determine that these are the things kids are using. So that's why I use the word identify the routes.
Okay. So okay. So you'd like is so the question for you, does that mean you would like this idea to focus on studying the transit to school patterns?
I think I should leave it on, sorry. My request is to identify the key routes that are most likely to be frequently used by employees and high school students to ensure safe travel to their destinations along the key routes.
Now you said the word employees again. Does that mean of any employer within the city?
The employers with large section of employees, like where you are likely to see majority of the people using that road, if a bike lane is provided, then that is an opportunity for them to use their bikes instead of using their cars.
Right.
Like, I mean, the example that I see is Matilda backing up quite a bit. But I haven't traveled on Fair Oaks or other roads, so I don't see that. So I'm suggesting in those lines.
Okay. Yeah, so no, idea number four looks like it's identifying key routes for bicycle and pedestrian travel. Okay, so we've got four ideas. So I had not yet listed an idea, so I will take the moment to go ahead and mention mine, which we did come up in a previous meeting of ours. I think Council Member Mellinger mentioned that it could be well worth the attention to review the ATP and reconsider the roads that are currently slated to be improved as Class 3B bike improvements. We do keep coming back to this issue in our meetings that staff has been working through the ATP, which is their job, and we keep bumping into roads that we would like to implement as Class 3 bike lanes, but bicycle boulevards, and we keep saying those are not very safe. We wish you would not do that, but they're in the ATP. So my idea here is to review the ATP and reconsider those roads that are slated to be made into Class 3 lanes as maybe ideally Class 2s or Class 4 where possible.
Hi, Chip Taylor, Public Works Director. I wanted to try to maybe guide this a little bit. So I think what both four and five, what it sounds like is there's either edits or changes that you want to do to the ATP in some way. And so I think what you're really asking for is we have an update for the ATP scheduled, I think it's like 29, 30, and maybe about 3 or 4 years. You're asking to move that up, is what it sounds like. And so I think that would be, that's different. That's not really a study issue or, you know, or council priority project idea. I think that's a kind of a separate discussion. I don't think it fits here, but I'm trying to figure out, and maybe that's something that you individually could talk to council members too, that might be the right approach for that. Or Mellinger as the liaison might be able to talk to him about it, and he could potentially decide to bring that up at the budget meetings. But that's really what that would be, is that.
Okay, thank you for that feedback. Hi, Commissioner Golagoda, do you have a question?
So do we restate a different one that could be a priority instead of this, because this doesn't actually fall within the umbrella of what is being requested?
Sure.
Okay. In that case, I would like us to focus on the improvements around the two high schools in Sunnyvale that are along the high traffic areas, for improvements around the two high schools.
Can you be specific, please?
Fremont High School.
No, no, I meant what improvements are you talking about?
Both pedestrian as well as biking access to these high schools. Right now, the pedestrian access also has challenges. We are seeing some dangerous behaviors around the high schools. So both for Homestead and I don't know if you heard, but there was an accident around Homestead High School in the recent past. So I would like us to review the access to these two high schools. Thank you.
And I suggest we have an open discussion as everybody's mic on.
Okay, so there's been a, can you phrase that as a motion to consider informally?
No.
He's not on.
I think the chair can decide.
Okay, yeah, so I'll go ahead and say I think we should consider informally for the time being.
And I think it would be easier if we do, yes.
Okay, I think we're limited to five live microphones at one time, but I can work to make that happen.
We're all on, so yeah. As long as we're green, we're green, we're go.
We both can share the mics.
So with respect to your suggestion, Commissioner Golagoda, regarding the pedestrian bicycle access around the high schools, that's actually been identified in the ATP. So my suggestion would be is you might want to review the actual ATP and look at what's been identified, because a lot of what you're suggesting has already been specified and identified in terms of like school routes and everything else. So
have they been addressed? No, right?
No, but they're on the schedule. It's on the schedule. If it's part of the ATP, the city will address it. It's not a study issue as far as the ATP is concerned. It's the city staff has already identified the issue.
What ATP is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you just might wish to refresh your memory on that.
But as as stated earlier, if you want to suggest a change to the ATP by adding something that's not there, well, that's what perfect. I've heard is yeah. The ATP needs, we need to focus on getting the ATP updated sooner, not the idea. That kind of eliminates almost everything we do. It seems like,
well, Fair Oaks is not on the ATP.
Yeah. Neither was Hollenbeck.
Yes. So
now that you could apply the argument that the city manager had, is focus all of this on telling council to move up the update to the ATP.
I like to focus.
I'm not liking that argument, but yeah. that's what it turns into.
Yeah. I don't think that would occur, because the council would not see a reason to redo the ATP before its scheduled time, because we haven't even finished addressing the stuff that's already on the ATP.
I agree, but some of the stuff that's on the A3B ATP, especially the Class 3B stuff, really comes into question, because a lot of that stuff is just flat out unsafe.
Right. I'm not disagreeing with you on that, but I'd like to focus on something that we could get started that hasn't been addressed in a process that's already been identified, is what I'm saying. Something outside the box that we already have. Because as I say, I don't think the council will entertain the idea of revising the entirety of the ATP earlier, because of the time and city staff involved in the ATP.
You're talking about the entire, you know, transportation staff having been involved in the ATP process. So yeah, I agree with you. Yes, it needs to be updated because some of the standards that were applied when we approved it back in 2019 are outdated. Yes, but I don't think we're going to get traction with trying to get it revised earlier. I'd rather concentrate on something, getting traction on something that hasn't even been addressed in the ATP.
Here's a question for staff. Since we know it looks like we're about 5 years into the ATP. Do you know, I know we had an update a few months ago, but do you know if there's a way, if it would be reasonable to kind of push to the side many of the streets that were slated for implementation as 3B bike lanes? And then work on the remaining aspects of the ATP in the meantime. We don't have study issues and we're not supposed to interrupt your work on the ATP, but I'm wondering if there's enough remaining that we can ignore the things that we know are problematic, like these class 3Bs, and then still make progress in other areas in the meantime before 2030.
I hesitate because I think that's giving direction to staff, and so that has to come from council. Also, the way that we have been able to advance a lot of the ATP is through some of our operational projects, like our slurry seal pavement rehab, and a lot of those are local streets that 3B was identified in, and so it would change the approach to some of our operations, and I think Chip has some things to add to that.
Yeah, I think Angela hit it for the most part, but I think, you know, we're obviously aware of the concerns, right? And we've heard from, you know, some council members. So we're very careful with how we do things and also trying to think forward on what things may be coming, right? So I think we hear you. I don't want to say that we will or won't do that, but we do hear you.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I guess that's enough for us to go ahead and not push too hard on this one. Since we can't really make the CPP is just not a place for us to give feedback regarding the continual tension as we get through these 3Bs, you know, one after another. So maybe we'll address that a different way in a longer term format elsewhere. Thanks.
So if we can get back to Fair Oaks.
Well, so I think that means that then maybe we can cross out number five, unless someone is going to be displeased that I'm getting rid of it. I think we've discussed it. We're about done with that one.
I think four and five have been addressed, and four, five, and six actually have been addressed by the ATP.
Well, I mean, so has Fair Oaks.
Not really.
Because the ATP determined it didn't need it.
Yes, but that doesn't mean we can't address the fact that it was a bad determination.
Well, these others have the same issue.
No, the others are talking about stuff that's already been done in the ATP, identifying key routes for cyclists and pedestrians for travel. That was the whole purpose of the ATP. Reviewing the ATP and reconsidering Class 3B recommended roads. That is addressing the fact that the ATP has identified routes as 3B and we disagree with it, as opposed to not having any bicycle or pedestrian infrastructure at all.
Let's go ahead and
Six is the bicycle and pedestrian improvement to high schools. Again, that's dressed in the ATP as part of the whole safe routes to school right thing.
Let's pause a moment and then allow Mr. Taylor to make a comment.
Yeah, I was going to agree. I think that you were, Commissioner Melman was actually describing it very correctly as far as we do have a safe routes to school plan for each school, right? So even Fremont, Homestead, so it's in there. And so that will be, as we look for grants, we'll look to implement those items in there. So we always try to prioritize safe routes to school projects if we can, just because we want to get those in place as quickly as possible. And if you remember, the ATP really was three plans before. It was, you know, the safe routes to school plan, the bicycle plan, and it was the pedestrian plan, and it merged all those together. But there's still sections in there of each one of those pieces. So just, you know, so you feel that you're kind of getting, you know, what you want there through the ATP, and we try to prioritize that through funding and whatnot. And I think that, you know, like the one on number two, that's really is a modification to the ATP, but I think that's probably okay because it's just a specific route. It's not like the whole ATP.
Yeah.
And we did that with Hollenbeck was the same thing. Tasman was the same thing. So I think that's probably okay for now. And we'll see. This is a new process, right? Council's also experiencing this process. Council limited themselves to only three items, right? So they've also limited themselves. And so it'll probably morph a little bit as we get through the first year, but I'm guessing as well.
And while I agree with Commissioner Bonnet that expanding the pedestrian-only area in downtown is a great idea, I think that there's already been a lot of development downtown, and I'm getting, I personally am getting kind of concerned that there's not enough development in North Sunnyvale. Okay, I mean downtown has been developed. There's a lot of new great stuff down there, which I'm very jealous of. I want to see some of that North Sunnyvale. Mostly, I want to see be able to get from North Sunnyvale to downtown without having to do the whole zigzaggy thing. And we know that Matilda is a high, it's a high-speed network. It's not really a good road for selecting for thing. Lawrence Expressway is a county road. The VTA is working on it. It's going to take a long, long time before anything happens to Lawrence. So that leaves our last major north-south route, which is Fair Oaks. And the reason why is that we have Sharrows on Fair Oaks, but I was also driving here. I admit I drove tonight, but I drove all electric. and I was behind two bicyclists on that route. And, and I'm thinking to myself, there's no way for anybody in the north of Sunnyvale to get to Fair Oaks Park because the sidewalk is not contiguous as a walking thing. And it's a little too far to walk, actually, so bicycling might be better. But there's no safe way to get directly from north to south quickly. You have to kind of do Tasman to the Borregas Avenue overcrossing down Borregas to make a little dog leg onto Maud, onto Sunnyvale. And then that's how you finally get to downtown. And if we want a fast, efficient school route to downtown to the various schools that are branching off of Fair Oaks, like Bishop and so forth, then I think Fair Oaks needs to be the road that has to be prioritized. And I think it's about time we readdress the fact that we have two very fast north-south routes that are accessible for Sunnyvale for motor vehicles. We need one for cyclists. We need one for pedestrians. We need to have ADA compliant sidewalks down the entirety of Fair Oaks. A lot of them are not. Nobody's going to be walking on Fair Oaks. Well, they're building high density housing all along Fair Oaks. So it's like, we need sidewalks there now, you know, kind of thing. So that's why I'm focusing on Fair Oaks, because I think it's going to be the hardest lift, but it's the only logical route in terms of a road to convert from a high speed network, especially since there's a school right smack on it. To making it a bicycle and pedestrian friendly route.
Great. Yeah. I would say, I think there's potential here to merge it a little bit with Tim Wee's idea that he mentioned that there was, we should have the signage.
Yes, the city is way behind on signage. I agree with that.
I think there's a route to Homestead High that goes through a neighborhood. There's like almost a bike trail that's unmarked, and you could consider this as relevant for students who might be bicycling to school. Anyway, I'm sure there are many of these type
bike
paths around the city.
They're waiting for standardization on signage from, I'm forgetting what agency.
I believe it was VTA. Was developing a wayfinding
signage standard. Guideline. Right, mm-hmm. And that's what you guys were waiting mm-hmm. for. And that's why we hadn't gotten signage. So, I think we've developed that, have we not? It's not. I haven't seen it before. Maybe.
I have not seen it.
Okay. I guess I'll have to bring that up with the VTA then.
Okay, so maybe Staff, do you think that the absence of VTA recommendations makes it difficult for us to move forward with Timwee's idea for signage across the city? Maybe Tim, could we put that idea on the list as number 7 to implement some type of city signage on known bicycle routes to help cyclists move?
Yeah, standardized city bicycle.
There are a few of those around.
Yeah.
Yeah, would one of you go to the...
We can't address public comments.
We have no public comments?
No, we cannot respond to comments that are given in the public thing. So that's outside the scope, yeah. So.
When you're still currently in informal discussion as well.
Right.
I'm sorry, you're not allowed to... We can't reply to a comment. We'll go for another round of public comment in a little bit, I think.
Yeah.
I believe if you would like to, as chair, have a second round of public comment on this item,
that
just announce it accordingly. Right. They would have to resubmit a comment card for the second round, mm-hmm. and just make it clear when, at what point you'll call those comments, right. and then I think we can do that.
We can certainly add that to the city provides signage on bicycle and pedestrian, wayfinding signage, actually, would be the terminology, that the city should implement wayfinding signage for bicycle and pedestrian routes. Because right now we have none, and we've been waiting for quite a few years, and I know we're waiting for VTA standards, but other cities have progressed without waiting for VTA standards. So I don't think we need to let that be the only hurdle.
Of course, I think focusing back on Fair Oaks,
there
isn't a way. It's not that we don't have signage. There just isn't a way to cross the city
right.
easily.
Right. But for those routes that we do have, there's no wayfinding signage telling people that there's the Borregas bicycle overcrossing if you turn right on Tasman this way, or if you go down Persian, there it is, you know, kind of thing. Or and then there's no wayfinding signage that this is the way to downtown if you take this route, kind of thing.
Okay, I think we've said a fair bit about this. We're merging between the wayfinding and the Fair Oaks. Both ideas are present. They're good ideas.
I was just talking about wayfinding,
Sure. Yes, just about wayfinding. Let's pause, and I see two hands from Gullah Geta and Commissioner Bonet. So let us.
So I just want to point out that Bishop Elementary, the school boundaries do not cross Fair Oaks. I just want you to know that. I've pulled up Sunnyvale School District school boundaries, and they stop at Fair Oaks, both Columbia Middle. I cannot say Columbia Middle, but the Bishop Elementary stops at Fair Oaks. It's between Fair Oaks and Sunnyvale Avenue, and a part of it, north of Maud goes along Borregas Avenue and goes a little bit further to the west. Thank you.
Okay, so does that mean that you are not of the opinion that improvements on Fair Oaks would be beneficial to students moving through town to go to high schools in the area?
I did say that Bishop Elementary cannot be a reason quoted for this one, but the rest of the considerations can remain. But I just don't want you to quote that Bishop Elementary would benefit because of the improvements. That's what I'm trying to say. Thank you.
Okay. Regarding the fact that we did cross out 4, 5, and 6, I think if we could articulate a clear improvement on a particular road that we were interested in, which we thought would be beneficial to people commuting to schools, I think there's still space to consider that. But no, the very broad format for that particular idea is what we found to be objectionable in this case.
No, I'm not finding any objectionable things here. I'm just saying that we cannot quote Bishop Elementary as a reason for improvements to Fair Oaks, but other considerations of having more accidents on it and not having access from north-south all seem valid to me. So I'm not opposed to that, but I am saying that Bishop Elementary has routes that are safer for kids right now.
Okay.
Well, one thing I'd like to offer, I mean, these are complex problems and lots of trade-offs, and we can't make those decisions tonight.
No, I think our goal is just to, yeah.
Otherwise, we got a whole staff of people in the city of Sunnyvale that are dealing with all these issues.
Right.
So and this is the weakness in this process.
Exactly.
Nobody's done any homework.
Right. Yeah. We don't know
what's coming here, and all we can make is statements about, hey, this would be neat.
Right. Yeah. So I think the main idea here tonight is just to say, of all the problems that we know are out there, let's just name one that we think has some potential. We like Fair Oaks, for example. We know there's a lot of interest in addressing it. We know it would cost a lot of money to do anything important to Fair Oaks and take a lot of time. But if we feel that given the accidents on the road and its importance as an artery, we might consider encouraging staff to come up with a plan sooner rather than later. I think that there's space for that, and that would be a good idea all the same. So I think it's really for us to say, is Fair Oaks important to us, or are we looking at something easier like wayfinding signage? Or are we more interested in seeing, let's see, that was number one, Commissioner Bonet's idea of expanding pedestrian. It's just really, we just need to pick something. We know that they're not all achievable to various levels. Okay, so the last thing I wanted to say is there interest from the group in trying to add one of the other ideas regarding safe routes to school support, either hiring another staff member for that or expanding the program via more seeking, let's say, parental involvement of some kind? I'm not particularly aware of what's going on in Cupertino or Palo Alto with that initiative, but I know the public had suggested it. If anyone here wants to pick that idea up and push it forward, I would just leave some space for that. But we would, of course, need a very specific request with respect to that.
You know, there are issues like, for example, the crossing guards. Like my son's school, for example, I'm not advocating on behalf of a school, but I'm just saying, for example, I've heard things from other elementary schools also. I'm not fully familiar with all the schools in Cupertino, I will admit that. But the school has different intersections from where the kids are accessing the school and the parents are accessing the school. And the current number of crossing guards is not enough for the number of potential areas for accidents, and we are seeing quite a bit of challenges during the morning commute, especially when a lot of kids are coming into the school. While leaving the school, it's a different scenario because some kids go to after school. They're probably getting transported from a bus or some other capacity where they're like grouped together and sent off, or they're probably accessing after school in the school itself. But the morning time when they need the maximum support is something most of our schools are finding difficulty with. I do not know if there's a way we can prioritize that, especially this is especially true for elementary schools, but also Fremont High School has been facing a lot of issues. I mean, I've heard issues about the Homestead High School also, but Fremont High School, I'm hearing a lot of issues. So I do not know what there is a consensus for among us, but that is the feedback that I'm getting. So if any of you have any interest, then we can have an item there. But if that is not a priority, you think, then I will try to get on board with whatever is being put forward, and we can vote on it.
Can you put, as for number eight, the addition, hiring of additional crossing guards for school routes? I don't know if that's within our scope, but that's what she's talking about.
And Commissioner Golikota, is the idea there that crossing guards at Fremont and Sunnyvale, Saratoga would be beneficial to my understanding is there's already a scramble intersection right there and students are crossing from all over to get to school. So I'm not aware of crossing guards being involved, but are you suggesting that that would benefit the situation?
I think the existing crossing guards number is not enough. And every 2 years they go on a rotation the city reassigns the crossing guards based on requests from the schools as well as the need that they see on the site. But they usually don't get the input from parents or from the school administration. I mean, of course, the school administration cannot give the input because they're inside the school. The parents are who are dropping the kids off. So they don't get the input, and some of the decisions that they make sometimes make us wonder, like, is this the right location for the crossing guard kind of thing? And we often don't get to input. Like right now, I'm aware about my son's school, like when this is going to happen, and I can request for an additional crossing guard to be put at a particular location. But usually people are not aware. So, I mean, there are schools where parents are active. They're probably getting aware of these things, but there are many schools where there are no active parents who don't know of these avenues to do that. So they don't get the crossing guards where it is needed. So if the city can find a way to do that, I'm probably not articulating it well. Yeah.
So the idea I'm hearing is either hiring of additional or let's say extra purview over the locations that the crossing guards are stationed at.
I don't know if that's within our purview.
No, I am potentially not.
Hopefully, maybe add a little bit. I think what I'm hearing is, it's potentially adding or a budget, you know, kind of amendment to actually add more money toward crossing guards. But also, it may be we're at studying the process and the criteria for which we select crossing guards, and so that might be where it's kind of both of those together. So it's kind of evaluation and potential modification of the process, as well as potentially adding additional dollars to even do more. And so that could be like the council priority project, basically, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So maybe we can rephrase that.
Summary.
Rephrase this let's say maybe study the locations and study the crossing guard distribution throughout the city. That way, as a result of investigation, you might say they're more required, or you might say different locations would be better for these crossing guards to be stationed at.
I think what he said was study the funding and allocation of crossing guards and distribution and how distribution of crossing guards are made, to summarize that, because that was a very long descriptive thing and we need to summarize.
I hear what you're saying, but I think if you start with funding, that sounds like a budgetary issue.
It is a budgetary issue.
But if you start with investigate the location of, you might say, oh, no funding changes are required, but locations are required, or changes to locations are required. So I would suggest that this be phrased as an investigation regarding the crossing guard process.
I support that.
Which one? You support?
Could you unmute yourself, Commissioner Bray?
At the limit. Yeah, I think you've described it very well, Chairman, that it's a study which may lead to two outcomes, one or both, more funding, redistribution. Very clear.
Okay, I kind of thought that's what I said, but all right, fair enough.
Okay, so we have a large number of ideas on the list. Thank you, staff member Taylor. So I think we can... Well, that's five ideas. Let's see. Can I
suggest something? Since we have a list of ideas here, we can go ahead and kind of throw out. You can call out. Hey, what about number one? Kind of asking the group for who would most likely like that idea the most, or they all individual. They can call out two ideas, which is from the list they like the most. Then you can pick the first one first, and then we can do the motion for that.
Great idea.
Are we going to vote to prioritize?
I think he's just
end up with one.
So the plan here that I'm going to suggest is I will stop considering informally, and we'll go back to normal rules and have one speaker at a time. And once that's done, in just a moment, we will... We'll go ahead and do a straw poll for each of the items that are not crossed off. And having gotten a sense of the relative appeal of these different ideas, then we'll go ahead and we'll open public comment at a particular time. And then we'll hear from the public regarding the statements they would like to make on the ideas that we've listed. And then we'll do some motions and votes after that. Okay, great. So at this point, informal consideration is over. We'll have the default orders, and then I'd like to see us do a straw poll, conduct a straw poll, please. Tin, could you help us to do run the straw poll for, let's say, starting with item number one? Let's have a show of hands. Who is favorable to item one?
Could you speak on the mic?
Commissioner Mailman is suggesting that each chairperson should name two items.
Each commissioner should just say what two numbers they think are the top two priorities. So we can narrow down the straw poll rather than going through item number one, raise your hands. Item number two, raise your hands. If each commissioner specifies two numbers that they feel are the priorities, then we can narrow it down. If we don't have a consensus, then I'm not sure what we proceed with next, but hopefully we can reach a consensus of some kind.
Okay, as chair, I am sympathetic to this suggestion that we not do a straw poll and instead do ranked choice voting. So then could you help us to go down the list, do kind of a roll call, and each commissioner, could you just throw out which, let's say, three options you find are most appealing?
Okay. Two. Okay. No, hold on. I'll call individual commissioner, and then you just state the two, your top two. Okay. Could you also put in your raise hand? Awesome. Commissioner Mailman.
Number two.
We did fail. Okay.
Number two, mm-hmm, and number seven.
That's good. Thank you. Commissioner Haseman.
Number two and number three. Oh, my thing isn't on.
Oh. Yeah.
Number two and number three.
Awesome. Thank you. Commissioner Bonet.
One and two.
Chair Wilson.
I'm thinking number two and number seven.
Commissioner Galakota.
I think we'll go with number seven and number eight.
Thank you all. So we have number two is the most voted for now.
Number two got the most, and number seven got the second most. Yeah.
Great. I think at this time, let's go ahead and reopen public hearing and accept some comments from the public regarding this item. The time now is 7:51 p.m. And I'll go ahead and open public hearing on this specific item. Members of the public wishing to address the commission, please submit a speaker card to the staff liaison. Use the raise hands feature now or dial *9 on a telephone to indicate you wish to speak. I will call on members of the public participating in person first, and then the staff liaison will ask remote participants to unmute when it is their turn to address the commission. Speakers will have 3 minutes to speak. The first in-person speaker is Tim. Please hold for a moment while I hear from a procedural question from Commissioner Haseman.
Okay. Yeah. Can the member of a public suggest a new idea at this point, or are they commenting on the ideas we're considering?
Thank you for the question. At this point, we have many ideas, and I think members of the public should refrain from suggesting new ideas.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for doing two rounds. And now that we've got a perspective on what to comment on. Fair Oaks, very high priority. I would just make it Fair Oaks Complete Street, and as much as they can do, rather than doing little teensy weensy bits, do something comprehensive for a good section. That'll be a big win. The seven actually was, so I was on the wayfinding committee for VTA when they had it running. So I'm very familiar with what they were suggesting. And my suggestion was actually not wayfinding exactly. It was actually just simply adding street signs to other intersections, which actually did become part of the overall wayfinding objectives for VTA. It'll be a while before they put all their technical guidelines together. Cupertino, Mountain View, San Jose, have done a lot of, and Palo Alto have done a lot of their own wayfinding already. And it's not rocket science. It's actually fairly straightforward. So normal wayfinding, you think of like how to get to the library and you have a lot of different signs. The specific suggestion I had was just name intersections. So they have names of things and put little street signs there, which are currently not there, so that people know, oh, this is where I'm at. And then their Google Map thing can then give them accurate directions on how to get to where they're going. Because the Google thing or Apple Maps or whatever map, all this information that the city defines and puts down on the ground will make it into those digital maps. And then the phone can do the wayfinding for them without having to have signs to get to the library, but telling them, oh, take a right onto Melman Way and take a left onto Wilson Passage or whatever you want to call it, so you know where you are. Because there are a lot of really cool cut-throughs and little spots that just don't have names. So it's very confusing when you're trying to navigate them. And our trail network, which we hopefully will do more of. The only trail I know of in the city that's moderately well-named is the one in North Sunnyvale that goes past Lakewood Ave, and I'm just drank, Christian Greenway. That one actually does have signs, but none of the others have signs. Even the Bay Trail. It's not well signed. Okay, that's it. Thanks very much.
All right, thank you. We have another speaker card from Daniel Heffley.
Hello, thank you for hearing me. My name is Daniel Heffley. I'm a Sunnyvale resident, a longtime cyclist. The discussion of north-south travel through Sunnyvale, yes, Fair Oaks is one. I have heard for about 10 years discussion of possibility of doing something with the East Channel, which goes from approximately Ortega Park up to Baylands Park. To me, that sounds like another opportunity if that could be developed into something, a bicycle and pedestrian way along the East Channel. Would be another opportunity for great north-south transit throughout the city. So I submit that for your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Let's see. So staff, is there anyone else interested in speaking on this agenda item? Oh, yeah, I see in the back there's a conversation. We're not supposed to respond, but I should say if anyone is interested in the East Channel Trail, there is a study issue that is ongoing regarding that. If you Google it or use another search engine, you can find Sunnyvale's information there. They're looking at it, and hopefully they'll have something for us in the coming years.
Just to add on to that, the BPAC last month saw a presentation, a study session on that, so you can watch that meeting and see the alternatives. But we're coming back next year with some public hearing recommendations for council. So stay tuned.
Yeah. Okay. So if there are no other statements, I'll go ahead and ask if there's no one else online, staff, then we can close public hearing at 7:56 PM. And I'll ask for a discussion from my colleagues. Well, let's resume discussion regarding, now that we have a sense of the relative popularity of these five items, if there was an item that did not receive a lot of votes, you're suggesting that we'd not do further debate?
So we rank them. We have two items. Now we decide.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe it makes the most sense to go ahead and vote between the two. Hmm. So just to help us, then could you copy paste and reprint in lines 2 and line 7 a little lower so we can see, you know, these are the ones we're going to vote between. At this point, I think it makes sense to try to conduct a vote among between those two.
While we're doing that, you can call on whoever suggests number 2 to speak on the idea of, I would say, is comment on the idea if they want to get more vote on it. And then, you know, we can do that after.
Great idea. So let's see here. We don't have a motion yet. Okay, so Let's see. So maybe I'll go ahead and ask that the people who have come up with these two ideas, idea two, formerly known as two and seven, now listed as one and two, if you could speak to the idea, make a little defense for it. I see the Commissioner Melman's hand is raised.
So with respect to the rankings, while I like the idea of wayfinding as the second priority item, I think having a true north-south bike route that is fast and efficient is the priority. And also, I think that we need to get this on the radar now because any process that would be initiated on this would have to involve Caltrans, not Caltrans, yeah, because of the 101 overcrossing and the slip ramps, which are the major obstacles on this route. The rest of the issues are within the city's purview in terms of like on-street parking, driveway entrances and egresses, et cetera, speed limit on the route, and so forth. It's the 101 overcrossing that's going to be the big lift because for that we will have to negotiate with the state. So I'd rather get it started now because it will be a long time to implement. And in the meantime, the VTA will come up with its wayfinding signage and we can get that done. And also, yes, if there are little trail connections or alleyways or whatever it is, then we can ask the city to, for public input, actually, to perhaps identify those routes so that the city could give them formal names. Because I think for them to appear on Google Maps or something, as per the suggestion, they would actually have to receive formal names from the city or municipality under which their control lies. Unless it's private property, in which case we can't name it. So.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Commissioner Millman. And Commissioner Golagota.
Thank you. I'm curious, like, we have the East Channel Trail that is being planned by the city, and it's likely to go forward. And they're going to find funding for it. I'm curious, what do you guys think regarding funding? Like, do you think the city would, my intent is that we pick an item that the city council can get on board with, and with the East Channel Trail being planned, would you think they will prioritize Fair Oaks?
Commissioner Golagota, is your question for Commissioner Millman in particular?
Yeah, oh, any of my fellow commissioners, yeah.
Question because of the thing. So, with respect to the East Channel Trail project, if you recall from our presentation last month, Fair Oaks was actually identified as a street. For parts of the East Channel Trail that could not be physically accommodated by the property that was there, either because there was housing on the property or because there was insufficient easements on the right of way there to actually provide trail structure. So in order for the East Channel Trail to work, we actually need to improve Fair Oaks. So it's kind of a lock and key situation because Fair Oaks is not a safe route by any means right now.
I agree with that. I'm not denying that. What I'm asking is, there is a certain section in the North Sunnyvale area where this East Channel Trail does not go to, right? Or does it go all the way to 101? I forgot.
It's supposed to go, yes, it goes to the 101, and then there is a overcrossing right now that is a pedestrian overcrossing that the bicyclists have to walk their bikes from. But there's only one overcrossing. But the other parts of Fair Oaks,
Are
where
down the south, right? Yes.
south of 101, where they actually are directing cyclist traffic off the East Channel Trail to take these surface streets because there's no physical infrastructure they can put there, that has not been addressed as part of that project.
But my understanding that your proposal is that we address the entire Fair Oaks from north to south.
That's correct.
And are you feeling confident that the city council can get on board with this along with the East Channel Trail?
I know of at least three council members that have agreed that I've discussed. I mean, I can't give 100% guarantee on anything.
Yeah, of course.
With
not.
What
of course
the city
not.
Council. Like, but I know of at least three feeling, council yeah. members that are well aware of the issue with respect to Fair Oaks. So that's all the assurance I can give you.
Maybe the statement to make regarding Fair Oaks and the East Channel Trail is that the East Channel Trail will be a multi-use pathway and it will never be a road. So if your goal is a highly interconnected network that is safe and fast, the East Channel Trail is not quite part of that strategy, whereas Fair Oaks is part of that strategy.
And do you think they can find funding for both? That's where I'm coming from. In well, the priorities that the city can.
Not in the next 5 years, but we have a longer horizon than that anyway. So I think the funding question is not necessarily all that important at this time.
Can I add on something? So tonight, we just want to forward one idea. It will be added onto the list of the running list. So City Council will look at all the lists. And it's not 100% that they're going to pick this idea or any idea. So just FYI. Thank you.
I think the Tin's comment there, I think it is relevant. The budgetary question is important when you say what will get done and then quickly. I think if you're asking which of these can be done more quickly, yes, I think the wayfinding has a much easier and is a much smaller project that can be achieved more quickly, but the impact is a little more concentrated or it's less broad. So that's relevant. Yeah. I think you should go ahead and consider that in your vote. Commissioner Hickman also has a question. Or a comment.
a couple of comments. You know, wayfinding is nice, but I never pay much attention when I go around. I get up a Google map and I find a way to go where I want to go. And if I'm going to go more than once, I usually find shortcuts. I mean, wayfinding is nice and I'm not against wayfinding, but compared to a safe route to get somewhere, there's an order of magnitude difference. That's why I would go for two. Now, two was actually, there was a study issue proposed by a former BPAC member, now council member, to do what two says. And council has considered it. And basically Commissioner Mellinger, yeah, he said they were going to break it up into smaller projects to complete this. So, I mean, this is well already on their scope.
But they're not doing it. We got Sharrows.
Well, yeah, the whole Sharrow thing, I understand. But this is on their scope. And that's why I think number two is a really good idea. And I just wanted to share on the trail, there's some major technical problems that have to be overcome to really, truly put that into a contiguous route across the city. And who knows, I probably won't be alive when that gets done. But just simply because of the challenges, you got two freeways, you got a railroad track, you got El Camino Real, and solutions not identified at this point. So that's why you have people going around. You have to go around to other streets to get around these areas. Anyhow, so my comment is number two kind of stands out.
Maybe I'll ask you a question. Do we want to try to refine? I know we the idea had been put forward that we should consider all of Fair Oaks because it's all very important. But the scope of that problem is very, very intimidating, I think, for the city. So maybe we could... If there's interest, maybe we would like to narrow the scope to discuss a particular segment of interest that might make
I think
it.
You're getting in the weeds.
Yes.
That's what happens.
Can you turn on the mic? So yeah.
I mean, we could probably discuss for 2 days. Fair Oaks.
We don't know what the council will do. We don't know what the budget considerations are. Trying to put something before the council to make it so the council will vote yes, there's no guarantee of that. So if, you know, if you're trying to make it smaller, whatever thing, you know, even just saying Fair Oaks from Tasman Drive to Duane Avenue, okay, to be able to get to Central Expressway or whatever it is, you know, that's you know, I don't even know if they'll say yes for that. So it's like you can't craft something to try and make it as palatable to the council. The council will decide, you know, as they decide. So we might as well go for the big and get what we get.
May I make a quick observation?
Yeah.
Again, to your point, we don't know what the council will do, but the way that you have written item A,
yeah,
bike lanes in both directions on Fair Oaks and sidewalk improvements.
Right.
The way that you've written it so far, there are no limits. There is no segment identified. It's just Fair Oaks.
Yeah. And
perhaps leaving it like that will,
yeah,
then give that flexibility to have that open conversation with council in February.
And then go,
and that's
can
a
I
point.
Also, can I also add on something? So the idea is great. So sometimes that's what Kay suggests, an idea. So right now, that's what we do, an idea. So when you suggest it on the list, council will pick the idea, they will modify it.
Right.
To how they think or how they know that it's going to get,
right,
move forward with it.
Right.
So I think right now, I think this should be okay. Thank you.
So at this point, I would actually like to make a motion that we vote on, you know, what our idea options are.
Before we do that, we have Commissioner Bonet has his hand raised.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I see I want to comment. I see our role here not to try to guess what council will view or not view favorably, really, but our role here is to ask for what we want and be bold about it, not to try to be humble and limit ourselves. So ask for the whole enchilada, and if we get just the carne asada, okay, we'll ask again next time.
Okay, so it sounds like we can articulate a motion. Commissioner Millman, did you say you had a motion in mind?
I have a motion that we take a vote and that we recommend item number 2, which is bicycle and sidewalk improvements in both directions on Fair Oaks Avenue.
Okay, we have a motion. Would it be friendly to rephrasing that as item A, as per the lower notation at the bottom of the screen?
I don't know that it, I apologize. I renumbered them because I thought it might help, but if it complicates, I don't know that it's important to include the number of the letter, just we'll capture the verbiage. As long as the verbiage is what you want in the motion, then I think we're good there.
Is what I want.
Need to turn on my mic. The verbiage, yes, the verbiage is what I want in the motion. That's what we're voting on, is the motion, not whether it's A or B or 1 or 2.
We need to be clear about what's being discussed. I think it's relevant to clarify. We have clarified. Everyone's now on the same page. And Commissioner Hickman?
I second.
Okay, we have a motion that's been made and seconded. Staff, could you please help us to conduct a vote? Okay, I'm sorry. After the motion has been made, usually we defend, and then if the defendant, I think we defended a fair bit on this discussion, but maybe Commissioner Millman, do you feel fine going ahead to the vote?
I have nothing further to add on my motion that has already not already been discussed.
Great. Commissioner Bonet, are you preparing for the vote? Is that all? Okay, great. So everyone's ready for the vote. Staff, could you please help us to conduct the vote? If you, to my colleagues, please go ahead and request to speak, and then staff will unmute you when it's your time to state your opinion there.
Sounds good. Thank you. Chair Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Hafman?
Yes.
Commissioner Melman?
Yes.
Commissioner Galakota? Go ahead.
Yes.
Commissioner O'Neill.
Yes.
So the motion will move with 5 yes and 2 absent.
Excellent. Thank you, staff. Okay, so item, so that, thank you all, you know, to my commissioners for your participation in that that item. If no one needs a break, let's go ahead and take a break for the next 10 minutes. We'll recess and come back to order at 8:23.
Oh, we're not officially back online yet. You have to wait.
Oh, no, I'm just trying to make you get you guys ready to get the stream going again. Okay, thank you. Yeah, okay. Let's get back to order. It's 8:25 p.m. I'm a few minutes late here. We have the next item on our agenda, which is item number 25-1162, the annual review of the City Code of Ethics and Conduct for elected and appointed officials and opportunity to recommend changes to the City Council. Staff, is there a report?
For this item, staff make no recommendation, but this report has been presented to the BPAC for review and to acknowledge the code of ethics and the conduct for elected and appointed official. Before I go on with a kind of more of a something similar to roll call, and then you each individual will when I call your name, you just say I have reviewed and acknowledged that. But before we have our director of public work, Chip Taylor here, would like to share something with us.
Yeah, I just wanted to take a moment. I think this is a good opportunity with this. I think that there, from what I've seen, there's been some interactions in this room that haven't gone as well as we might want to. And I think with this ethics, manual that you're seeing in front of you, I think it's a good opportunity to kind of remind ourselves of all the roles as we go forward. And I think it's important to note that we all have our role in this, and we can have disagreements related to this, but you know, we are professionals. We are trying to give you the best information that we have, and it's okay if you don't agree with that, or you don't think that it's something that you want to support and you want to recommend something different to council. And I think you can certainly do that, but I think we need to do that without, you know, tearing down, you know, the other staff who are bringing that forward. And so I know that it may not be everybody, and there's, you know, some individuals, we'll have some conversations, and we're trying to make sure that we get everybody just to work together. You know, we all got into this business. I think Angela said it real well at council not too long ago, that she got into this business to help people, to make it safer, to do things right. We're confined a lot of times by state laws and federal laws and all these different things, and it does make it hard. And so there are times when we as staff don't agree with certain things, but we're stuck with that box, and we have to present it to you as our role and what we're what we have looked at professionally and given you those recommendations. So I think just really take the time to read through that. Know that we are here to support all of this, even though we may have disagreements. And certainly if you disagree, just put that in your motion to council and just say that we don't agree with that particular recommendation. We would like the council to do this or whatever it might be. And then everybody kind of gets their point across, but we can get it across in a very professional manner. And we're open to questions. You can certainly ask us all sorts of questions and poke at us and whatnot. But we can always do that professionally and respectfully. So I appreciate the work that you do. I hope we can move forward and really try to work better together.
So thank you, Chip. So next, I will call individual, and then please go ahead and raise your hand. So go ahead and mute you. Okay, so Commissioner Haveman.
What am I supposed to say?
You have reviewed and acknowledged.
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Millman?
I have reviewed and acknowledged receipt of the City Code of Ethics.
Thank you. Commissioner Galakuta?
Yes, I've reviewed and I acknowledge. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Nobonet?
Yes, reviewed and acknowledged.
Thank you. And Chair Wilson?
Yes, I have reviewed and acknowledged the City Code of Ethics.
Awesome. Thank you. So we have five majority have reviewed and acknowledged the Code of Ethics. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Millman has a question.
For those members who are not present tonight, will they have to contact staff in another manner to indicate that they have reviewed and acknowledged, or is that not a requirement?
So we check with the city manager office, and then they say, so they all have a copy of these,
mm-hmm.
but also as long as the majority of BPAC have voted yes, they have reviewed and acknowledged.
Okay,
And then
then
we said,
they're
okay.
bound by the code of ethics. Okay,
Correct.
that's what I wanted to clarify. All right,
Thank
thank you.
you.
Okay, that brings us to the conclusion of that item. The next up for business is non-agenda items and comments. Are there any non-agenda items or comments from my commissioners, fellow commissioners? I do see a hand raised, two hands raised. So we'll go to Commissioner Hafeman.
Yeah, I just wanted to share with transportation staff here on a pedestrian issue in Matilda. I don't walk the fastest these days, but I try to get around about 2 miles an hour. And it turns out with my recent treatments, I do cross Matilda both at Iowa and McKinley. And on the Matilda crossing there, you get a 27-second crosswalk time. And I barely make it. Crossing three travel lanes, a double turn lane, and in each direction, it's zero before I hit the end of the walk. You can stop halfway, but then if you stop halfway, there's no button you can push to continue. See, you might be stuck there indefinitely. And there's people go slower than I do. I don't know how they cross that intersection. Now it's 30, I think it's 35 seconds at Washington. And it's interesting, Sunnyvale Avenue is 15 seconds, you know, which is plenty of time. Or I mean, Pastoria. 15 seconds, that's plenty of time. But Matilda, 27 seconds, that's something to look at.
Thank you, Commissioner Haven, to bring it to our attention. All related message back to our traffic signal operation team to look into the walk time there for you.
Yeah, and just one other comment on both of those streets, Iowa and McKinley, people are making right turns, and of course you can make right turn on red. And so when the light switches, no more cars are coming down Matilda. So a lot of people are making right turns. So usually you're 2 to 3 seconds into it before you can even step onto the crosswalk.
So what I'm hearing that you would like no turn on red on, or do you want to have like leading pedestrian interval, which is more time for pedestrian before the light could turn green for that right turn.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
No turn on red. I'm always in favor of that.
Okay, sounds good. We'll relay that message back to the
team. Yeah.
Thank you.
And Commissioner Colacota, your hand was raised as well to make a comment.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Wilson. I want to announce that the Sunnyvale Education Foundation has extended its feed Sunnyvale School District Drive to the end of the year because there are still many families that are struggling, and we have seen extraordinary interest in the collection of food boxes and the interest in gift cards for the local grocery stores that has, due to the recent SNAP benefit cuts, we've discovered that there's a really high need in the community than what we raised for. So we've extended the deadline to collect more money. So if anybody listening or here is willing to make a donation, I urge you to do so in the Sunnyvale Education Foundation.org website. It has a cheddar up page, and we would appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Staff, do you have any non-agenda items or... I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Commissioner Millman's hand is also raised.
Thank you. I just wanted to state that there was no VTA BPAC meeting report for this month because the December meeting was canceled. So just to let you know.
Thanks for the update. And sorry for overlooking that. Okay. So, yes, staff, did you have any non-agenda items or comments to make?
Yes, I have no announcement, but then I just a friendly reminder that we will have TDA discussion next month. So it will be helpful if the commissioner could think about the project for TDA discussion, so we all can benefit from that meeting in January.
Are the potential projects for TDA funding on online as well? They're posted on the I guess as part of the agenda packet. Well, the agenda's not up. Is it just there's a? Could you explain? Remind me where I can go to consult the list.
So I think Angela Wong is drafting an email they could send you guys to a reminder. You could think of a potential TDA project that you could, we could use the money for those projects.
You're asking for like a tracking list of ideas, not the projects that already have TDA funding?
Yeah, I was mistaken. I wasn't aware that we can suggest ideas to receive TDA funding.
Yes, typically we come up with some ideas to help guide the discussion, but it is BPAC's purview to come up with ideas and make the recommendation to council which project to use our TDA funding every year, our allotment every year. So you can bring any ideas you like.
Because last year we did hear from the commissioners that they like to contribute ideas to the list rather than just staff providing a list. So that's why it's more of a reminding, if you could think of a potential project, then you know we can discuss that.
Yeah, thank you for the very timely reminder on that. Commissioner Melman, you were first.
Yes, I wanted to say that we can submit ideas for TDA funding, but please submit only those ideas that meet the requirements for TDA funding. So familiarize yourself with those. And whatever ideas you come up with, they have to meet those requirements. So they have to be within the scope of the permits for the funding. So.
And Commissioner Hickman?
I would request staff, if maybe you could send us an email out on those requirements. Because, yeah, a lot of times they are quick build type projects.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if they're, you know, a place where we can go and find out what the rules are for quick builds, especially for the newer members.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay. If there are no further comments, then we can move to that next item on the agenda, which is information-only items. Just so everyone is aware, as part of this agenda packet today, we had item number 25-1164, which was the BPAC 2025 annual work plan. And we also had item number 25-1165, which was the active items list of December 2025. Okay, and then the next item on the agenda is just adjournment. The meeting will now be adjourned at 8:38 p.m. I want to thank everyone for your participation and many ideas, thoughtful feedback for today's meeting.